I have driven several vehicles in my life, and mostly I like to drive a pickup truck. I like to drive a truck. I've had small trucks. I had a Ranger for a while. I really liked that truck. I had a Nissan small truck. I liked that for a while. I had a 72 F-100. I really liked that truck, other than the park didn't hold on it, so you had to kind of carry a chalk block with you, and you'd park and you'd throw it under the wheel because you were supposed to be able to put it in park. And it really, I didn't have the emergency brake, didn't work really well, so just the solution there was just a wooden block. And so you'd get out, if you're fast enough, you could get out and throw it under the wheel before it started to coast back. I had parked in a couple different spots, and when I looked around, the truck was following me down this little knoll, so I had to get the wood and throw under the wheels, and it was, I really liked driving that truck. It was a really cool truck, but it had its own issues. It was two-wheel drive, and so I usually would get in places where two-wheel drive just wasn't enough. I don't know if I'm a bad driver or just a sketchy driver. I don't know if I'm a risky driver, but sometimes two-wheel drive just doesn't get it done for me. And so I bought a Chevy truck, and it was okay, but it was more, I don't know, it was more feminine than what I wanted. You know what I mean? It was a different truck. And so I sold that truck and I bought a 1996 F-250. And I drive this truck now. This is the truck that I drive. And it's a fun truck to drive. I like it. I like a truck, to me, should have an 8-foot box. And now I know that I can't have an 8-foot box in a single and a crew cab. And then you get you get like school bus style, you know. So it's a little challenge to get the whole family in there, or the grand girls in there with me. And we kind of run out of room for grand girls in a single cab truck. But I really like this truck, and it looks really good from a distance. When you get up to it, and you know, you can see that it kind of, you know, marks its territory. You know, it's kind of leaking some oil. It's kind of got some rust going on. But it runs fairly well, and doesn't squeak too much. And it's just one of those trucks. That's just the squeaking. It's fine. It's just one of those things that you get kind of used to. And I really enjoy driving that truck. It's got crank windows, and it's got the wings that you can turn in and blow the wind on you. And it's a simple truck. It really is. And I've been wrestling whether to keep it or not, or whatever I'm going to do with it. Needs some work on it, needs some body work, and so forth and so on. The other day, Brinley happened to be riding with me in that truck. And she was down, and she really likes to be able to control her own window, and she always opens up the wing and blows the stuff all over the truck. You know, that's kind of what it does. It's kind of a riding museum to the young generation, you know, of this all these cool things in a vehicle that you don't see, you know, in normal or more modern. I mean, it's only 25 years old, but more modern vehicles. But we were riding down the road, and she had this question for me. She said, and as I was shifting through the gears, because it is a manual transmission, she asked me why I was shifting the truck. And so I could give the simple answer, but we had a ways to go on our trip, so I didn't just opt out for, hey, it's just a manual transmission. I kind of started into this explanation of a manual transmission versus an automatic transmission. And I got to comparing it to her bicycle and the chain and the gears on the bicycle and the pedals and how the drive gear and the driven gear and the different sizes of gear allow you to pedal this speed and get more speed out of your tire without having to pedal faster. And we were having this conversation back and forth. I was feeling really good because I think she was getting it. And we compared to the pedals and the gears and the chains and the motors and the people and the pedaling and the gasoline and even Cheerios that you ate that morning to fill up your gas tank for your bicycle. We talked about gear ratio. We talked about how that works with your bicycle. You shift the truck so you can go faster without the motor pedaling harder. That's why you shift the truck. You shift the truck so that you can go faster without the motor working harder. That's kind of the conclusion we come to. And that was all the parts. The parts here connected to parts. And each part is working to do their part. Push the button, please. Every part is working to do its part. There are parts connected to parts. And each part is working to do their part. That's really what it was. This and connected to this. And I really got in the groove to say, your toe bone is connected to your ankle bone. Your ankle bone connected to your knee bone connected to your, right? I even wanted to sing that. It's the parts doing their parts to do their part. Each part needs to work in conjunction with the parts so they can do their parts. So you know that the average vehicle has 30,000 parts. The average vehicle of today has 30,000 different parts. And the parts are working together. The parts are working together so that the vehicle can work at the most optimum level. If parts aren't working, these things start to not work right. And parts give up and they can't do their part. But all these parts working together, 30,000 parts in a vehicle of today. The Bible is like a vehicle of today. There are thousands of parts working together. Part working with part, all the parts working together. In 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 20, it's like I would compare it to like the drivetrain perhaps, or a part of the parts. This is the part. You can have a drivetrain working well, but you have to have air in your tires too. This is just one part of all the parts of the Bible. But this is a very important part, I think, when Paul is talking to the church of Corinth, and he wants them to know how this part works. Because this part is important. You need to know how this works. And the parts are working with parts to do their part. Because if they're not doing their part, then you're stalled or you're not working right. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 20 says this, We are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. And a month ago in a message, we talked about you are God's field. You are the cultivated field. You are the farm. Push the button. If I am not dead, then God's not done. We come to that conclusion. And God says, I am God's field, and there's a seed in my field. And we talked about this a month ago. There's a seed planted in me, and a seed that God is tending, and a seed that is alive, and a seed that is good, and a seed that is meant to grow. That's a part of what God's doing in our lives. He said, I want you to get this part. I'm doing this. I'm cultivating you. You're my field. You're my farm. And I'm cultivating you because I got a seed in you. Because I got something unique in you. I got a seed in you that I'm tending and I want to grow. It's a good seed. It's a good seed and I want it to grow. Watch. Let me help it grow in you. And that was the part that Paul is talking about. But that verse goes on to say this, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. All of a sudden, he switches from field to building. He said, I want you to know the parts of the building too. I want you to know what I'm building something. I'm not only growing something, but now I'm building something. So it's organic and it's mechanical. It's organic and it's mechanical. You are my field. You are my cultivated field. And there's a seed in you. But whoa, you're my building too. I'm doing something. And the building is the word for building there is it can mean the structure and the process. And really in this passage, I think it means both. You've got a structure and a process. You got a structure and a process. You are God's structure and his process. Are you with me this morning? You are God's structure and you are his process. You are my building. I am building you and I continue to build my building. I'm working in your life. I am doing something unique in you. I'm growing the seed, but I'm building you as well. I'm building. It's one of the parts that God wants us to know that he's doing in our lives. I'm building you. And sometimes I think we get so frustrated because we can't get it yet. And God's saying, I think he's saying, hold on. That's renovation 202. We're still building the outbuilding. We're still building the entry. We're still building. Hang on. Be patient with me, I think God's saying. Because you're my building and you're in process. There are parts connected to parts, and each part is working to do their part, he says. Look what he says in verse 10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. God's grace is something we receive that is completely undeserved. So before we go much further, we got to know that what God is doing, who we are in Him, is by His grace. It's not whether you can get it done. It's that God has already got it done. And God says, you are my building. I am the general contractor here. I own you. I purchased you. I redeemed you. And I'm the general contractor. It is by my grace that you can do anything. And Paul said, it's by God's grace that I can even be a part of this building process in your life. You are head over your head in grace. Are you with me this morning? You are over your head in grace. And God says, if you don't think you can get it done, you got it. You got your eyes on the wrong thing. Stop looking at the man in the mirror and start looking at your God. Because it's God's grace that's going to let you build. It's God's grace that's going to give you the expansion that God wants. It's God's grace that's going to give you victory. It's God's grace that's going to move you forward. It's God's grace that's going to make you stronger. It's God's grace that's going to build you. You are His. He said, you're my building. Don't you think I'll take care of it? Don't you think that I won't build it? Don't you think that I don't have the wherewithal to grow this building that is you? I'm not growing some brick and mortar thing. I'm growing you, he said. Oh, you might get together in brick and mortar, and you might even sit in a plastic chair someday. But you got to know you're mine. And it's by my grace that you are going to be a part of this building process. Verse 10 goes on to say this. By the grace God has given me, I laid the foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. The foundation is in. We'll talk about that in a minute. And Paul says, I brought something that was foundational to you, and someone else is building on that. Someone else is building on that foundation. Active building is going on right now in your life. Someone else is building on that foundation, he says. Something else, something is happening in your life right now. Because there's constant construction going on. I got 8 C words for you today. There's constant construction going on. He's working right now in your life. He's working right this very minute to bring to you what he wants to build into your life. He's doing it right this very moment. Don't let the world convince you that he's not. Don't let your own flesh convince you that he's not. Don't let Satan convince you that he's not. He said someone else is actively building right now. It's happening in your life right now. God's building on your faith right now. He's building your building. Because there's constant construction. We are not only living in a construction zone, we are a living construction zone. You ever lived in a construction zone? Maybe. You ever got sawdust in your socks when you're walking across the living room? Have you ever? I mean, that's just sometimes that's not very settling. You know, one of the most unsettling things I ever did was in my daughter's and son-in-law's house, and I took a wall out between their living room and their walkway in their hallway. You know what? You know what happens with old plaster and lath? I got started and I just couldn't quit. And all of a sudden, you know, people start getting silent around you. You know you're starting to make a big mess. And then it's all like, I can't stop. It keeps falling out. And all of a sudden, there's plaster and lath dust all over the place. There's plaster and lath dust upstairs. For crying out loud, how did it get upstairs? It's in the kitchen. It's in the cupboards. It's in the dishwasher. It's on the stove. When you live in a construction zone, it's messy. And God says, you are living in a construction zone. You might need to get used to sawdust in your shoes because I'm working in your life right this minute because I'm a constant construction engineer. I'm doing it right now. Well, it's a little uncomfortable, I know. That's because I'm ripping this out and putting new in. Someone else is building on it right now. He's doing that in your life right now. We are not only living in a construction zone, we are a living construction zone. Verse 10 goes on to say this, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. And some of you have done renovation projects where the guy before you was not careful how he built. And somebody's working on a house in Tioga County right now, and they're cussing at the guy who did before them because he didn't do it right, and that guy was me. So I kind of take it easy on the guy at 713 Walnut Street who was before me because I understand. He said, you need to be careful how you build. There's constant construction going on. All of a sudden, there's this interaction for you between you and God. Be careful, he says. Be careful how you build. What do you want your house to look like? What do you want me to do? What are you going to allow me to do in your life? Be careful how you build, because we need careful construction. Because there is constant construction, we need careful construction. We need to do it right, he said. Be careful. Be careful what you do. Careful. Observe. Contemplate. Evaluate what you're doing. Did you ever really think about it? You know, when I sit down to build anything, man, I got all kinds of drawings. I got none of them to scale. I don't know how to do that stuff. I got stuff on the back of cardboard boxes. I got stuff on inside out cereal boxes. I got stuff all over the place. But I'm calculating what it's going to be. I just built a swing set for the girls. And I calculated, and I was careful, and it was wrong. And then I calculated, and I was careful some more, and that was wrong. And so I bought more concrete, and I calculated some more, and I poured some more concrete. We're getting there. When you see New Enterprise drive in with a big red round truck, you'll know, I got it. That baby's going nowhere now. He said, when you build, be careful. Calculate, observe, evaluate. And I think, don't give up. Because there's constant, because am I making sense today? He said, man, I want to do this in your life. And I know you've got to live in a construction zone because I'm constantly working in your life. And I know you've got to be careful. Because you know what? There's other places and other people and other things that want to build in your life too. And you got to evaluate that. That's not all good, he said. Be careful. Look what he says in verse 11. For no one can lay a foundation other than one has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation is Christ. If you are building the building that he is talking about here, the foundation is Christ. So I'll give you another C word. I want you to know this. There's concrete construction. It's absolute, it's solid, it's real. Concrete, absolute, solid, real. That's what that means. He said, you're not building on some sort of sandbar. You're not building on some sort of wishy-washy stuff. You're building this building that is, I'd say, be careful. And there's constant construction going on. And it's concrete because it's the foundation is Christ. You are built on Christ. He has taken you and he has set you on Jesus Christ, the foundation that is solid and real. And he said, I'm building you constantly. Be careful how you build. Watch what I can do in your life. But your foundation is going nowhere because it's concrete. It's solid and it's real. Matthew says this, right? Jesus says this in Matthew, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Why? Because its foundation is on Christ. And the gates of hell don't have a chance in hell against against Christ. He said, no matter what may come, the rains come and the floods come and all this comes, and it will not affect the foundation. And anybody who builds on that foundation will be able to stand the test, will be able to stand the storms, will be able to say, I am firm in Christ, because your building is going nowhere when it's on Christ. Be careful how you build. I'm in constant construction. Verses 12 and 13 says this: if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, or straw. So if a man, the building materials, what are you building with? What are you allowing into your life? What are you accepting into your life? What is it? Is it gold, silver, and costly stones? Or is it wood, hay, and straw? Is it stuff that'll last or stuff that is going to go away? What is being allowed? What are you allowing to be built on your foundation, who is Christ? And are you careful? And are you choosy? Here's the word, choosy construction. You need to be choosy. That's not going to become a part of this house, because that's wood and straw and hay. No, we're going to use good materials here. We're going to use stuff from the GSCS building company, the gold, silver, and costly stone company. We're not going to build it from the wood, hay, straw company. I'm not going there to buy stuff. And so often in our world says, oh, you need this. Oh, your life needs this. Oh, you need this part of your life. No, you don't. That's wood, hay, and straw. God says, why don't you come over here to my supply house? And why don't you start buying from me? Why don't you start getting stuff that's top quality? You can't buy. You ever try to buy a top quality anything at some of the big box stores wood-wise? I said, I asked the guy one time, I was trying to buy a tube before, and I said, does this come with a pipe wrench? And he said, why would you need a pipe wrench? I said, because I'm going to have to screw that thing into where I'm going with it. It is so twisted. How do you ever expect? I need some good quality material here. And the little sticker says, top quality. Lie! Boom! Throw it aside. Lie! It's not top quality! Grow straight trees! I don't know what you need to do, but you need a straight tube before. $10 for a tube before, and it's bent. I mean, I can bend my own tube before. I don't need someone else to bend tube before. I need top quality stuff. I need stuff that's pricey and it's valuable. I need stuff that is sturdy and it's lasting. And he says, you need to be choosy. What are you allowing into this building construction of your life? You are my building, and I've set you on this foundation that's going nowhere, and I'm constantly working in your life, and you need to be choosy of what you're allowing into your life. You don't want this poor quality, cheap stuff. Stuff like faithfulness and readiness. We spend more time on getting stuff and status and money and me-ism. I was surprised that my word processing didn't know what the word me-ism is. I said, you should. You're programmed by the world. You should know what that is. And so I kind of told him it's okay and gave him the definition of that. So it no longer underlines it in red in my word processing. This world's got a lot of me-ism in it. He said, why don't you buy some more me-ism? Why don't you buy some more me? Why don't you buy some more me? You're number one. Have it your way. Have it your way. It's all about you. You're the center of the universe. No, really not. Why don't you buy some more of that and add it to your life? Why don't you buy faithfulness? Why don't you buy readiness? Why don't you go to the store called God and say, God, I'm a choosy purchaser here. I'm a choosy construction guy here, and I need some faithfulness. I need a cart full of readiness because I'm going to be ready for whatever's ahead of me. I'm going to be ready to share the gospel. I talked to a guy on the phone late last night, 81 years old. He said this, and I'm going to get an old piece of fence off him that I'm going to repurpose into something else. And I can't wait to meet the guy. He's quoting scripture to me. It's going to be a great afternoon when I go see him. But he told me this. He said, I'm 81 years old, and God has touched me physically, and I'm going to do wherever God wants me to do, when, where, and how. I'm only 81. That guy bought some readiness. That guy bought some faithfulness. That guy bought some truthfulness. That guy bought some God. He said, I'm going to apply God. Whoa, 81? Don't you know I'm God's building? Don't you know that if I'm not dead, God's not done? Don't you know that God is still working on me? He doesn't care if I'm 81. It's not about me. It's about Him. And He is the mighty one. He is the one who's going to give me the faithfulness and the readiness. He is the one who wants to build that into our lives. He is the one who wants to build kindness and goodness and forgiveness into our lives. Oh, I can't forgive that person. Sure you can't, because God needs to build that into your life. because we got too much me-ism in us, too many twisted two-before's. We see quality material in our life. God said, I'm going to do that in your life. Will you let me? You need to be choosy of what gets built into your life. What are the materials that are building into your life right now? What are the materials that are being used to build your life, to build God's building right now? Look what it says here in verses 12 and 13. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Because the day, capital D day, will bring light. And it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If it burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, sure, because his foundation is Christ. But only as one escaping through the flames. One day Jesus is going to set fire to that building. One day we're going to stand before Jesus. And this building that's God's, me and Jesus are going to stand together, and he's going to bring out a torch, and he's going to light me up. And when I'm done burning, not hell, when I'm done, and whatever is left, whatever has been quality material, he's going to say, whoa. And do I think I can have the vast majority quality material? You know what's going to last? Faithfulness is going to last. That's not going to burn up. Do you know what else is going to last? Kindness and readiness is going to last. The me-ism and the bent two-before's and the garbage is going to burn up. Oh, it's not determining if you're going to heaven or hell. That's not what we're doing here. You're going to make it in. Don't worry. You'll make it in because it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus, whether you make it or not. But if you let God build your building now, when it has to stand the test of the fires of Jesus, it will last. And I'm just going to make this statement. If it can stand the test of the fires of Jesus, it'll stand the test of this world. If the materials God wants to put in your life will stand the test when you and Jesus stand there together and he's going to evaluate what your building materials are, if they, the GSCS materials, stand the fire of Jesus, they will certainly stand against anything this world can throw at them. Am I making sense? So I want you to know this. Be confident in your construction because it goes beyond. It goes beyond what you have in here and now. But it'll stand the test of the fires of Jesus and it'll stand the world's assault on it. 16 says this, don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you? Whoa! This building that is in the building process is not just a storage shed. It's not some kind of warehouse. It's not some kind of barn. It's not some kind of temporary housing. It is the temple of God. I'm building a temple, he said. You are my building. Now let me tell you, you are my temple. You're not just everyday, ordinary building. You're not just a place where somebody can back their truck up and unload everything they didn't really want and pay $90 a month to shut the door and drive away from it. You're not that building. He said, you're my temple. I'm building my temple. I'm building a place, a meeting place with God. I'm building a place of worship. I'm building a place of life. I'm building a place like no other. That's what I'm doing in your life. God, what are you doing in my life? I'm building a temple. I'm building a place where you and I will meet right inside of who you are. I'm building a place of life where you can go, and its life is there because I am there, because we're in communion construction. Communion with God. So I'm going to build a place, that house is going to be a place where you can have communion with me. That's what I'm doing right inside of you. Ephesians 1:17 says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. Any destruction of the communion construction will meet opposition from God. And as scary as the enemy can be, and as powerful as the flesh and the world can be, when you find yourself fighting against God, you can't win that battle. And he said, somebody wants to tear down my temple, they're going to find themselves doing business with me. You let God worry about his temple. You let God worry about you. You just let God build it consistently. You just let God build it with the quality parts. You let God build it with what will stand the fires of Jesus. And God will take care of those who are trying to be in opposition to you, allowing God to build his temple into your life. Does that make sense? Verse 18 says this, do not deceive yourself. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise are futile. Do not deceive yourself. Are you with me this morning? Don't lie to yourself. This world is never going to build your temple. The wisdom of this world cannot build a temple. The wisdom of this world, the world thinks that it has awareness of life. The world is upside down and backwards. The world supports ways of thinking, lifestyles, and actions that only lead people to deeper darkness. The world does not know how to build the temple of God. The world will fill you full of garbage over and over and over again. The world will never give you truth. The world is messed up. The world uses people. The world is self-centered. The world cannot lead one toward building the temple. He said, you're not ever going to figure it out in the world. Sometimes I'm trying to get one foot in the world and one foot in God and say, I want to build a temple. And God said, you need to get your foot out of the world because they don't have a clue of what they're doing. The next C word is this. You are Christ construction. And only Christ and only God can build you. So then, verses 21 through 23 says, so then, no more boasting about men, exclamation point. Why? Because it's God's grace. All things are yours, whether they're in Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or death or life or the present or the future, all are yours. Why? Because you are of Christ. And Christ is of God. You are of Christ. And Christ is of God. You got all the connections you need. Let me build. Let me build. Let me build in your life. You are my building. Let me build. Let me build. I finish with this. It's come on, construction. Come on. That's what God said. Come on. Come on. Let me build. You're mine. Let me build. Let me build in your life. Come on. Do you think I redeemed you so I could just leave you in the field and let you rot down? Come on, you're all of Christ, and Christ is of God. come on. Let's go. Are you ready? Do I have this? Just so you know, page 6, see nothing here. I'm done. That's the last slide. But it doesn't matter the process to get there until we say, yes, I want to go. I want that. I don't care if it's constant construction, God. I don't care if I have sawdust in my shoes. I don't care. I'm tired of building with garbage, God. I'm tired of building with crooked dubophores in my life. I'm tired of trying to think the world's got something they offer me. I want you, God. I want to respond to you. I want to be a part of, come on, construction. I think that's what God's saying. Come on. Will you let me build? So where do we go from here? The whole response to this whole message, to get down to this one point. Yes, God. I want you to build. Yes, God. I know I'm your building. Yes, God. I know there's parts that work with parts to help everybody do their part and everything do their part in my life. And I'm tired of only giving you part of my life. Because now I got a great engine and I got a great transmission. I got no clutch. And every time I try to ram gears, it just grinds. I want my parts to work together, God. I'm tired of it. Build my parts, God. And hook them together. So my parts are doing their part to bring about what you want in my life. Stand with me today. God, thank you for these moments together. And God, thank you that we can say, thank you, God, that you're people. I've heard and I've said, and people often will say, I'm not perfect. And of course you're not. You're under constant construction. You're not perfect. You're not done. You're not done building. God's not done building in our lives. And God, I want to be careful what gets allowed into my life. And God, I know that in my past I've allowed crooked tubophores to be a part of this structure, and they need to come out, and you need to come in, God. So I stand before you and say, God, cleanse me, renew me, touch me, forgive me. God, I want to shop at your store. I want faithfulness. I want to be like the 81-year-old guy in Martinsburg. Father, help us as new lifers. Help us as buildings of God. Help us as temples. Help us as dwelling places of the Holy Spirit. To allow this building to go on, to allow this structure to be built, to allow this life to be built, to allow this life to be built that when it faces the fires of Jesus, it'll stand firm. And if it stands firm there, it'll stand firm anywhere in this world. Father, help me stop relying on the world to build me. This world doesn't even know how to get itself out of a parking space. So, Father, here we are, arms wide open. Come, God. Come and build. Come and build. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.